Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 94 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Becoming the Redeemed Out of Time. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
The prophetic is I have some people ask me, Alan, what is the prophetic? And I like to call the prophetic an active Christianity. It's a Christianity that is active, it's moving, it's operating in forward motion and future thinking. And the title, a subtitle of this week is Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Becoming the Redeemed Out of Time. Last week we had it in time, and now we're going to discuss and consider this being the redeemed out of time. I've been teaching you about time, the fourth dimension, the spiritual dimension, how different things happen in time, and we're moving up to this redemption of time we've been covering the last week or so. Now, buying back the past, when redeeming time, we've been discussing the terminology of redeemed, being redeemed. And redeeming is a very, very important part of our Christian lifestyle. And as redeeming, the active spiritual concept of redeeming takes on a revelation of redeeming time. So we're redeeming future. Jesus has died for our past time, but he's wanting to redeem our future time. So he led us in the understanding and the consideration that redemption begins. Why is redemption so complete? Why is redemption irreversible? And the reason is because redemption was in place before all time, before the foundations of the earth. Redemption was in place. And God had redemption in place before the fall of man. And so now we see that there's a great battle going on in the heavenlies, which we feel and we experience. And some people consider and believe that Satan and God are in a great battle, which is untrue. It's Satan and Michael the archangel that are in a huge battle. This is the time of the battle of the angels. God's not in a battle. God knows everything that's going on, how it's going on. God is outside of the battle. So what you see, and you can see it in scriptures, the battles that's going on in heavenly places is amongst the angels. God is outside of that battle. So God being outside of that battle, it's not like he's ticked off at the devil. It's that we have this human story playing out over this period of 6,000 or so years. Within this human story that's playing out, God has set the arena that man has a choice. This is not about success or failure as such, as much as it is, man has a choice. And God is asking, who will you choose this day? It's all about choices today. We're wanting God to redeem us and redeem who we are without us putting forth any effort, when we do not understand that the reason you're here is to be matured and to grow in this idea of making choices. So God has set up this situation that when we fail, and when we have failed and made a bad choice, God sent his son to die on the cross to cover your bad choices. Does that mean that you want to live life out of bad choices? No. What it means is God has grace and mercy and gives us all the opportunity to begin once again after a bad choice. Whether you're playing a ball game or you're running a marathon or whatever, it's the finish that counts. It's crossing the finish line. It's that last second, the finish line that we're after. And so as we're living this life with God, it's about this, if we're crossing this finish line, so to speak. And the question is, are you faithful to the finish line? Are you faithful to the finish? And we see that it comes out of this idea of having human choices every day. It's been said by a great philosopher that if you have a bird and you have this bird in a cage, and you can say that bird loves you, but until you open the door of the cage and let the bird fly away, if it flies back and perches on top of the cage to see you, then you can say it loves you. But have it confined inside of a cage, out of ownership, does not equal that the bird loves you. God's love is beyond any of our comprehension. God has turned us loose out of the cage. And He's just wanting to know if we want to come back to Him. Now, He took care of all of this before the foundations of the earth. You now find yourself in a battle, in a spiritual battle on planet Earth. And in this spiritual battle, God is wondering and asking and calling you to choose Him and His ways in this battle. It is a battle. Make no mistake about it. It's a more of a war than it is a battle. But inside of this war, we have a spiritual war going on with the angels. And at the same time, we have a war going on of the Spirit on the earth. So we find ourselves sitting in here on a Sunday morning, looking at God's Word, looking at God's plan, if you will. The reason that you are here is because this morning you have chosen to be here to hopefully gain more instruction of the battle that you're in. You know, it doesn't take the title of our series this time and this season is Take Courage. It doesn't take much courage to follow everyone else. It doesn't take much courage to dress like everybody else or act like everybody else or get the latest fad or style. It doesn't take much courage to be a duplicate of someone else. But did you know it takes a lot of courage to choose life and not death? It takes a lot of courage to be successful. It doesn't take much courage to fail, but it takes a lot of courage to succeed. So we see that water usually runs downhill. It goes to the easiest path of resistance. So is our lives. We think success is taking the path of least resistance, when success is really defined by climbing the next mountain, to have the courage to conquer the next mountain. We came to Christ, you've discovered you didn't have so many mountains to climb till you met Christ. Until that day, you were going to the path of least resistance. There wasn't as much conflict there. There's more conflict when you serve Christ. The reason is God is maturing you to rule and to reign with Him. So therefore, we find ourselves here on this planet. All of us sitting in this room has had some great failures. No one is excluded. Some of your failures, we all know. And hopefully, praise God, most of our failures, no one knows but God. Do I hear an amen? Since that be the case, we need to understand God has budgeted for our failures, constantly calling us into having courage for success. There again, failure does not take much courage. To duplicate others does not take much courage. Now, when we're trying to or are in redeeming, and what I've tried to introduce you to this idea, that redemption is futuristic. We're all sitting in here today. You have set before you the ability and the power of the Almighty God to redeem your tomorrow. Now, in the redemption process of your tomorrow, it's going to be tiring, take a lot of hard work, and you're going to have courage to climb a mountain of tomorrow. There again, today, with the entitlement spirit all over the planet, of everyone feeling in this spirit, it's a spirit of entitlement. A spirit of entitlement, we could say, is bad enough in itself, but the problem is it's a spirit of entitlement, which means everyone owes you something. You have to do nothing because it is owed to you. That is the opposite. That is from the demons of hell themselves. Socialism, demonic. That's right. Why? Because it's the path of least resistance. You've been put on the earth to have trials and tribulations. You missed a wonderful place to say glory. You have been placed here. Guess what? No one will escape them. You can win the lottery and you still got them. We've been placed on the earth for trials and tribulations. So we can either whine and complain because it's causing our path of least resistance to get a little upset, or we start taking on this attitude of Christ. Christ went to the cross. He saw what was before him. He did it with great joy. It still took great courage for him to go to the cross. So there we find ourselves. Now we find ourselves on this planet, on this earth. Why in the world are we here? I am suggesting that the reason you are here is for trials and tribulations. You can be more than victorious. You can be an overcomer. You can be a conqueror. God is working on developing you into those attributes. An overcomer. One who that is successful in trials and tribulations. An overcomer is someone who climbed to the top of the mountain and is going down the other side. Overcomer. There is nothing to overcome on the path of least resistance. Now, one reason I'm saying this is everyone sitting here has a life full of trials and tribulations. It's not because you've done something terrible, even though we can do things that will contribute to that. But you're still going to have trials and tribulations. So the key and the trick is we're learning how to be victorious in any trial, in any circumstance. Paul said that he has learned to be content no matter the circumstance. So we start, it's very important as believers that we understand what in the world is God doing. Now, I know we have this idea that we come to God and God's intention is to make life easy for us, so where we have to do nothing and He does everything for us. I'm just so apologized because somebody's given you the wrong concept of who God is. That is not who God is. This is a place of training for eternity. Did you know that you're not here but for a little while? School doesn't last long. Even though when you're in class, it seems like it is. But it doesn't. This life is not eternity. This life is where we go to school for eternity. That is awesome. But my personal problem is, I never liked school. Does anybody else have that problem? I never liked school. But do you know what? I've got to man up. I've got to grow up and say, I'm going to school. That being the case, I just well to get on with it. So the word redeemed, God has created us. We're beginning in school here. He's training us and teaching us. It just so happens in God's school, there's life and death is at stake. Here we see that the word redeemed typically means buying back, that is, paying a price in order to recover something that once belonged to you. But in reality, this redeeming the time, now this is time redemption, isn't about buying back wasted time. It's about dedicating ourselves to using future time to redeem the future. Now, we've got to rewire how we think. Rewire how you're thinking. History is good for history books. But history is not good when we replay it. It's boring. History is good for history books. Where we're wanting to move into future. Well, when you move into future, which is tomorrow or whatever, you're in here, we're going to study today. Why? It's because we're wanting to redeem our tomorrows. One of the first things that we see that's so important in this case is our choices. God's created us here. He put us here. He opened the cage door. He said, now fly. And if you so desire, fly back to me. If that's your choice of flying back to God, it is a sign to God that you love Him. Anybody with me? You're back here. You're in here this morning. You're flying back to God. That shows God. He has set you free. We are free indeed, but we have been set free to see if we choose to fly back to Him. You're free not to, because it's in that not only God knows that you love Him, but now you know that you love Him. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't. So, the future is waiting to be redeemed. And when we can see that the future, the idea of the soul is that tomorrow will be a path of least resistance. Tomorrow will be a good day because I did not have to do anything. We like to say, I had a great day, I went home, kicked the shoes off, got up the next morning, didn't do anything all day. Made ham and eggs in the morning. I went back and took a nap, and I came and ate the rest of my ham for lunch and went back and took another nap. And, you know, I didn't get out of my pajamas all day long till I got up. A wonderful day. Well, it just so happens the soul thinks that way. A good day, and I'm not against resting. I'm just saying the soul thinks that a good day is where there's no resistance in your life. But let me tell you something. How strong did your body get that same day when you did no resistance? Not only did it not get stronger, it got weaker. You say you rested. Well, we need to rest. But you did not work your muscles at all or anything, your brain or anything. So you gained no time. What happens? It's a place of least resistance. So life, if you're going to make your body stronger, you do resistant training. You get weights, whatever. It's because the resistance is what equals the strength. Without resistance, there is no strength. And some of you can be sitting in here and say, oh my goodness, Alan, I should be stronger than Atlas himself or whoever because of all of the resistance that I have had. Well, we need to see resistance as something that we know we can overcome. When you do resistant training, you will become stronger than that than you're resisting. Anybody hear that? You take a 20-pound weight and you work it. You go over and you can pick up 120 pounds away after a week or two. Why? Strength equals overcoming that you are being restricted with. It's the way it is in the spirit. It takes resistance, resistant training. Did you know that in the spirit, did you know that when you have a life that you have been trained and you have been taught spiritual resistance, did you know that in life, in the spirit, depression will be far from you? That's right. Depression will be fine. Do some people have clinical depression? Yes, they do. Will they need to work out more than someone that doesn't? Yes, they will. Can it be overcome? Yes, it can. Now, I'm just talking to you about real stuff. It's the resistance. I'm sure I've told you this, but I had a dream years ago, 30 years ago probably, of these children flying a kite, and this old man went out there and their kite was going round and round and round and round. It wouldn't take flight. And then there was an old man in the dream. He went out and he made a tail for the kite. The kite didn't have a tail. And then the kite, he threw it up, and then the string was just really, the tighter the string got, the higher that the kite went. Point being, the string was a resistant to the kite. Without the string causing the resistance, the kite would not gain any altitude. The resistance in your life is designed for you to get closer to God. It's a real spiritual phenomena. What's the kite constantly trying to do? It's trying to overcome the string, the twine. Constantly. It's in a constant battle of trying to overcome the strain. So as we have resistance in our lives, we are constantly fighting against that resistance. But in the fighting, we are gaining spiritual altitude. That's the way it works. Now, I'm sorry for some of you that the resistance is so painful, because I know it is. It can be emotional, it can be physical, it can be a combination of both, it can be spiritual. But nonetheless, we have to start viewing what's going on properly so that we have a sound mind. If we don't have a sound mind, we have a lot of confusion. We need to understand what's happening. And you also need to understand that you can overcome it. In the struggle, it seems like, and we convince ourselves it cannot be overcome. Yes, it can. It can. You see, when you are pushed to heights that you have never been, it will seem impossible because you've never been there. Did that make sense? I'm not sure it did. It seems impossible to go to higher heights because you've never been there. If you've never been there, it seems impossible to go there. But yet the resistance is pushing you there. You know it's a little fearful. I've never been here. I've never done that. But what happens? We move. We redeem it. God's time is always redeeming time to fill up eternity. I'm bringing us back into where we're going to be today. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Remember, start thinking futuristic. We're sitting right here now. We're going to redeem tomorrow. How are we going to redeem tomorrow? With your poor, sick attitude? Do you not think that that's going to totally destroy tomorrow? So why does God want us to repent and leave our stinking attitude in today? So we can redeem our tomorrow. Don't carry it over. Leave it in yesterday. Jesus has paid for that one. Leave it. Repent. I believe the idea of redeeming the time is possible through the power of God's Holy Spirit within each believer. Only redemption will change evil days so that they become the day of salvation. Redeeming means serving to offset or compensate for a defect in Ephesians 1:3-6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? Heavenly places. Remember, heavenly places is fourth dimension. Somehow another. I mean, I know we've heard this terminology all of our Christian lives, but somehow another we got to get the understanding that goes with this knowledge of heavenly places. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. The context of that is heavenly places. So you have been chosen in him in heavenly places. Make the connection. Now, Matthew, it says this, I'm bringing some points together here in just a moment, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. So here we see there were some things before the foundations of the earth, and now Jesus comes on the scene, and he says that he's going to utter some things which were kept secret. Nobody knew about it. Now, here is the what I call the greatest revelation of all time. We're sitting here. Here is our dilemma. We have heard words out of the Scripture over and over and over and over and over and over, and we automatically have a preconceived idea that we know everything that that word means. I'm asking you to be open for the possibility of something that is so obvious that we miss it, but just come outside of your regular verbiage and words to try to see into it a little deeper. Now, here's the greatest revelation of all time. It is the mystery of the church. Now, the church, Trevor brought up the other day in our conversations, there's one thing to be an individual Christian, and I hope maybe he'll teach on it one day. There's one thing to be an individual Christian, and then there's also another to be a Christian in a congregation. Isn't that right, Trevor? I probably murdered how you said it, but you'll have to fix it. There's two different things going on here. We need to see what that is. It's called the mystery of the church. The secret of the church is the greatest revelation of all time. You are sitting, I am sitting, we are sitting, and find ourselves into a spiritual situation that was a secret hidden in God. Jesus introduced it. The Apostle Paul brought the understanding to what Jesus introduced. It's called the mystery or the secret of the church. So we need to consider, how am I to operate and live? What am I inside of this secret of God? We have what we call prophecy, which is the Jewish nation. You had it began with Abraham. Now, did you know that before, with Abraham, God started dealing with a nation and a people, right? 12 tribes and the whole deal. But what was going on before Abraham? God was dealing with mankind as a whole. What until Abraham that he said, okay, I'm going to narrow this down to a people. Why did God do that? Because he had a secret. He had a mystery. He created the people with Abraham because he had all of this heavenly host focused on the Jewish nation. God threw out, if anything, you might call it a distraction. Everything was centered on that. But God had a secret. He had a mystery before the foundations of the earth that he was going to reveal, called the church. Now you find yourself as a redeemed person inside God's mystery. You're not a Jew. I'm sorry. I hope it didn't hurt your feelings. But you're not one. You are a redeemed person inside this time of God's mystery. You see, before you had to give sacrifices of animals and all this stuff. Inside their mystery, you don't have to do that anymore. Somebody say, glory. Why? Because we have a revelation that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. They didn't have that before. We have there. So there's certain perks that come with being a redeemed person inside the mystery of the church. Church wasn't always known about. Do you understand what a parenthesis is? You have a sentence and you have a parenthesis. That's where a sentence is being broken and you've inserted another little thought. The church is a parenthesis in time. It was inserted thought. It wasn't there. So now, think about this. Satan didn't know you were coming. He didn't know you was going to be born. Why? Because you were a secret. You were a mystery. You were a part of the secret. We came on the scene, it was a big surprise to the spiritual world. The spiritual world is still wondering how many more of us is going to show up in this mystery until the parenthesis is halted, until the parenthesis has been made full. It's called the time of the Gentiles, the fullness. So the only reason we're here is because everyone's not here yet. That's inside this mystery. Once the mystery has been fully revealed, it'll pick right back up with prophecy again. The Bible is divided in two places, prophecy and mystery. Just remember that. Prophecy, if there was a division in your Bible, it needs to be prophecy and mystery. Watch it. Now, this is Psalms 107 and verse 2. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what?"
Say so!
Yeah, that's right. You remember that one from last week, I see. "Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You got to understand, you were redeemed before the foundations of the earth. Why? Because you're inside this secret. You see, God had to redeem us before we got here because of the purpose of his secret. What the prophetic's doing today is to call people unto who they were before the foundations of the world. And guess what? It is possible. It is possible. The only thing that's keeping us from getting there is we're so convinced it's not. But for it to be possible, for you to be, would you not like to meet God and be into total fulfillment of the mystery and the part of the mystery on why you're here? You're a secret. You're a mystery. You go up to some of your school buddies with the power of God in your life and Christ, and they're going to look at you and hear your talk and say, "Whoa, I didn't see this part in him in high school, in her." It's because you're walking more in the fullness of the mystery of who you are. Now here in Ephesians 5:32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning who? Christ and the church. I would divide my Bible in two places, prophecy and mystery. That's the reason in the prophetic world, prophetic people tend to want to combine prophecy and mystery. You know, you got prophetic people today wanting to be like Elijah or an Old Testament prophet or something. Well, that's okay, but you was born too late. You're born in the time of the mystery. And you can be a prophetic person of the mystery. But a prophetic person of the mystery is declaring who you were before the foundations of the world and calling you unto that. Why? Because God's got a secret that He's trying to let the world know about now. You are a terror to hell. You should be known on a first name basis in hell. That's right. Because you're part of this secret of God that's being revealed to the earth. Amen. We should all look like a bunch of crazy people talking about God's kingdom. Now look at it in Romans 16. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel, that's the mystery, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, how? According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret. So, how am I going to preach Jesus Christ? I'm going to preach Him according to the revelation of the mystery. That's how I'm going to preach Him. According to the revelation of the mystery. What is the revelation of the mystery? You need to be finding out. The revelation of the mystery is that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was the forgiveness of all sin. That's the revelation of the mystery. That wasn't known. Acts chapter 3, Peter preached a murder indictment against the nation of Israel for killing the king. Peter at that time, chronologically in time, did not understand about the blood of Christ. What he understood was, Israel, you killed the king. As the mystery's being unfolded, we now know that Christ is the atonement of all sin. I was mentioned to you last week, had Satan have known this mystery, he would not have entered Judas and had Jesus sent to the cross. Why did he do that? Because he was going by prophecy. Old Testament prophecy. We're living under mystery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now listen to me. Prophecy doesn't necessarily include mystery, but mystery includes prophecy. Amen. You've heard me say that one doesn't include one and two, but two includes one and two. Mystery includes one and two, but one doesn't include two. So I'm living in a time that not only have I inherited everything God promised to the Jews, I've inherited everything God promised to the church of Jesus Christ in the age of the mystery. That's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves as we got it all. Now, let's move on here. There's Bible prophecy and there's Bible mystery. First Corinthians 15. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. This is the Apostle Paul. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born what? Out of due time. You see that? The Apostle Paul here was writing, saying that all of these people saw Christ. They saw Jesus. Some of them's dead, but most of them are still alive. He said after that he saw James, and then all of the apostles saw him. That's the last part of Luke. All of them saw him. And then he said, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Well, the Apostle Paul says he was born out of due time. What is due time? Due time is when a baby's due. Due time. It's a set time. The Apostle Paul said in him first, He was born out of time. You see that? Paul has given us the revelation. You and I sitting here, if you're born again, you have been born out of time. You're fourth dimensional spirit. You're outside of time. You will not ever die. You've already been born again. You'll leave this body, walk right into heaven. You'll not. I had a dream one time. I know y'all get tired of my dreams, but I did have a dream. And in this dream, this is when I was sick and had cancer, and I told I was going to not live long. And in this dream, I asked an angel how I would know that I was dead. Now, it's amazing how you think when you know you're going to be dead. You think different. I said, how will I know when I'm dead? The angel looked at me. Here's what I said. He said, you just won't have the need to breathe. He said, that's all you'll know. You won't have the need to breathe. So I'm thinking to myself, we are already living in eternity now. I believe the only difference we'll know when we leave this body is we won't have the need to breathe. The reason we have the need to breathe is because this body needs to breathe. The rest of us doesn't need to. It's the gas, I guess, into the body or something. I don't know what it is. But we won't have that need to breathe. Paul said he was born out of time. Why? He was the secret. Paul was part of the mystery, the secret. He gave the revelation of this mystery or this secret. Here we see the Apostle Paul says, Paul was saying he was born out of time and born in the mystery by the grace of God. This is the reason, if you're part of the mystery, which we are, the reason you're here, the reason you've been born out of time is by the grace of God. It's not anything you've done. You can't fix it. You can't break it. It's not anything you've done. It was a gift from God. He birthed you out of time. If he had not birthed you out of time, when you die, you would be no more time. You're already out of time. You're not doing time no more. You're already out of it. You're born out of due time. Paul was born again in the fourth dimension of the Spirit. It's important that we make this distinction. When we make this distinction, we're able to start connecting with this spiritual dimension because of the distinction that we are making. Now watch what Paul says here. He says in Ephesians, that's a little small, and Ephesians 1:3. Now just look, keep in mind, Paul says he's born out of time, and he writes this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now I'm hoping that that's beginning to make a little more, you have a little more revelation. Blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, blessed us with spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. You're in fourth dimension. Now you have been born out of time into the fourth dimension, into the spiritual realm. And since you have been born there, you're now in heavenly places. You see, he chose you before the foundations of the world. Now, it doesn't mean that you're living it, right? But he still did. If he chose it, how are you to be holy and without blame before him? Well, if he chose it, before the foundations of the world, do you not think God cannot get what he chose? He chose it. That you would be blameless and holy. You can walk unto that. It's not impossible. It can be done. Because God chose it. The only thing he's asking us to do, he says, will you join my choice with your choice? If you take your choice, join it with God's choice, what happens? You will be to the praise of his glory. How? By his grace. Now listen to me, somebody. Please hear me here. There is a spiritual experience that'll cause more butterflies than jumping off the Empire State Building. There's a spiritual experience in being praise of the glory of God. It's a spiritual encounter. It's a spiritual entity. It's a spiritual experience to be to the praise of his glory. The Apostle Paul was writing this and was saying this, saying, hey, y'all, I was born out of time. And when he was born out of time, you know what happened to him? And he got the revelation, he was called up to the third heaven. How did he get called up? Because he knew he was born out of time. He was outside of time so he could go up to time in the fourth dimension. And he had a revelation of who Jesus was, just like the 12. But Paul wasn't there then. So how did Paul say that? Because he went up. He saw Jesus face to face in the Spirit. He was there. Now, when you leave your body, guess what? You're going to do just like Paul. You're going up. You're going to meet Jesus face to face. Now, look what else he went on to say with this understanding. He went on to say in chapter 1, verse 7 through 10, in him we have what? Redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of what? His grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the what? Mystery of what? His will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. This is all about him. Does anybody notice that? That in the dispensation or the pouring out of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are where? In the earth. Now listen to me. Why are we wanting to redeem the time? The time must be redeemed before the heaven can come to the earth. When we set aside this service this morning, and we all come together, this is just not church. We're just not coming together because it's Sunday, because everybody expects me to, or truth is I don't really want to go, but I guess God expects me to. That's not redeeming time. We can redeem this time, this next 2 hours. We can all do it on purpose and say, I want to be part of redeeming the next 2 hours of this service. We want to redeem this futuristic time, this next 2 hours, and we want to be here as operating out of being the praise of his glory. When we are redeeming time and being the praise of his glory, guess what shows up? His glory. His glory. I was speaking to a person about a week ago. They were from Bethel and they stayed at the house, and I've had these people from Bethel staying in the bunkhouse. I don't know what the deal is there. Intercessors and stuff. And I asked the one, I said, well, how is it out there at Bethel? What's going on? And she said, well, it's It's just full of the glory of God, just the excitement of just every service. And but they've discovered something. He said, they'll take an assessment of the congregation. They'll say, how many people are here for their first time? Said over half of them raises their hand. So they've learned that what happens, half of the people that come to a service there, most of them are visiting, or half of them. And they've learned they're bringing with them such an anticipation of the presence of God and worshiping and praising God with such fervent, just praise, that the glory's there. You can imagine. And of those that are visiting, most of them are from another country. So you can imagine if you travel from another country into a service. If we were in here today, what if half of the people that came in traveled halfway around the world to get here? Do you think their anticipation and their honest praise unto God would be of a height and of a tremendous excitement and expectation? Have you ever considered that that draws the glory of God? If that draws the glory of God, could my bad attitude, my poor mouth, my being mad, my being disappointed because the world has not served me as I expected? What if I bring all of that to a service? The glory of God, the presence of the Creator, being honored with that in our midst is truly a privilege and an honor that we must honor. We must appreciate. We must show reverence unto the glory of God. I need to hush, don't I? Well, I'll tell you what, it's 22 after and there's people coming in and I just want to pray and I'll stop right there. I didn't get anywhere I meant to. Seems like I get a little sidetracked from time to time. But let's stand, if you will, and I want you to consider what I've said. Test what I've said. If you think I'm off a little bit, just throw it away. If you think there might be some truth to it, we need to grab it. We need to walk in it. We need to embrace it. So, Lord Jesus, it's my prayer that this next 2 hours, we want to redeem this next 2 hours. Just set it aside. This next 2 hours, oh God, we want to redeem it and claim it for the kingdom of God. That this group of people, that we come together, oh God, understanding that you have redeemed us for this time that we're in. And Lord God, it's our prayer that your redemption power would flow through this congregation. Lord God, we can't do nothing right, but we can praise you. Teach us and show us, oh God, how to praise you. And to praise you, and to praise you. Lord God, forgive us where we're not reverent and honoring unto you like we should be. But dear God, we thank you for your love and your grace, your compassion, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.